What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Very much prayer and the power of prayer. We have, you know, I think you knew that I gave a retreat to the Carmelites in Buffalo.
When was that?
It was about a year or two ago.
Okay.
It was really a great experience. And then I was just seeing on television about the Poor Clares who have a monastery in Detroit. And I've always been attracted by the Trappists and their life of prayer. And, of course, the story of Thomas Merton and his life and his conversion. And that call to a whole life of prayer. What is the contribution of the contemplative to the world? What is the power of prayer? How much, when people give their whole lives to prayer, what kind of difference does it make in the world in which we live? Jesus today talks about the better part. What is that? As you know, you have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in your home. I think there's many times a misunderstanding as to who is called to a life of prayer. I think one of the greatest prayers in my life, as an example, was my grandfather. And I lived in his home for 7 years, but all of his life, he was a married deacon in the Maronite church. And he was a married man and a contemplative. And you could just see his eyes were always on God. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the 10th chapter and the 38th verse, as they came on their journey, he entered a village when a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him, speaking. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left all of the serving and is not helping me? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. That powerful teaching of our Lord about prayer. Prayer, and it's so important to get this, prayer is listening to God. Prayer is speaking and being in the presence of God. All prayer is initiated by God. Prayer is a response to the presence of God. What all of us have a tendency to do is to maximize myself and minimize God. Martha could wind up being worried and anxious about many things because it would depend on her. Mary has chosen the better part because only one thing is necessary. The contemplative has taken and given God everything. Now, does that mean only the contemplatives who live in monastic settings can be holy? Not at all. Married people are called to contemplation. Here, these two women are single, the single life person. What is my relationship with God? And as we live in this secularized world, it does become more and more difficult to maximize God, Because what do you mean by maximum? What do I mean by that? That God is everything. When the image that I would offer of God this morning in prayer is God holds the world in his hand. Everything comes from him. Everything. There is only one thing that is important. It was the cause of everything. Who is God? There is nothing in our world. Your family, your home, your state in which you live, your lands, your world, it all belongs to him. If we can see that he is the center of all of life, then we have begun to really begin to see with the eyes of a creature. We are all creatures, sons and daughters of God, especially those of us who have been redeemed, made and redeemed by God, who has sent us Jesus Christ. That magnificent enthronement that took place in your home, Chris, the presence of Jesus in your home, that you could spend your life in the presence of God, the king of your heart, the king of your family, the king of your work, the king of the world. And wherever we go or whatever we do, he is the center of everything. Now, the power of the person who is a prayer, you know, those who are in monasteries giving their whole lives, what is the contribution of prayer? What is the power of prayer? In today's Mass, God is showing us through the prophet Jonah how powerful prayer is, how powerful conversion is. When the world turns to God, we are now in such an important time in the history of our world, because at Fatima, Mary said to all of us, prayer, fasting, sacrifice is so important for the salvation of the world. Violence, communism is with us, she said, and is going to come as a scourge. God is going to use it to bring us back to himself if we do not pray. That Russia will grow strong, communism will overtake the world if we do not pray. That's what she said at Fatima almost 100 years ago. We did not pray, we did not become converted, but listen what Jonah has to teach us today. Because our Holy Father on October the 13th is going to remind us of that and the power of prayer. And Nineveh is the world as an example, and Jonah is a sounding voice for us that the church is giving us today. And so we read from the third chapter of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, but he so hated the Ninevites, who were Syrians, and he was a very nationalistic Jew. And because of his hatred, he did not want to preach to the Ninevites. This is a kind of a humorous thing. God calls this prophet, Jonah. He jumps on a boat and goes in the opposite direction. I will not preach to those pagans. I will not preach to those enemies of the Jews. And God brings him back. And he has him a second time. That's why this third chapter. The first chapter, he ran away. This time, he comes back. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, great signs of repentance. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles: neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil ways and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his punishment and blazing wrath, so that we shall not perish. When God saw by their action how they turned from their evil ways, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry out. What did Jonah do? He was so angry. He was pouting because, and this is like a humorous thing almost, God took these pagans to show Israel how hard-hearted they were. Here are your enemies, and when I send them a prophet, they listen to him. It's interesting that it should be Syria. Here, what do we have in our time? The Iraq. We wanted to go into Iraq. What did we go in with? The Holy Father says, don't go there. How many thousands and thousands died, including Americans? Sunnis, Shia, Christians, and Americans. What did we do? And we were called by Our Lady, by the Pope, not to do that. We thought we were going to bring peace. When Saddam Hussein's image was brought down, it was only the beginning of a lot more violence in Iraq. Listen to what happened in Egypt. What were we going to bring to Egypt? Peace when they got rid of Mubarak? What happened? Worse than ever, the violence. And it's still going on in Egypt. It's not as reported, but it is. It's still continuing. The violence that's going on, a nation almost destroying itself because of hatreds. And here, when we went into Libya, let's get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. What happened? It became more violent. They killed our people in our embassy there. And it still isn't resolved. And we don't still know what's going on. The eruptions that we're bringing to the world. Now Syria, the Nineveh. What are we hearing here? Are we hearing the voice of pray, sacrifice, Our Lady? This will bring us peace. You know, if we were to, what would we want to shout out? That who? What is God just doing here? You know, 5 days more. It's going to be the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Do we hear the power of prayer that the Holy Father is calling out to us, consecrating the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, calling us all to pray, to sacrifice, to take up our rosaries, to bring the power of God into the arena of the world. He is the center. We're maximizing man. We're maximizing ourselves and minimizing God. And those of us who are even supposed to be Christians, having Jesus as our Lord, what our Holy Father is doing and what Mary wants to do is maximize God. Once we become aware, you know, we're on the brink of nuclear disaster. Iran is continuing to build up its potential for nuclear war. North Korea is threatening because it already has one of these or more of these missiles that can bring an exchange. When are we going to hear that message? The power of God to bring about peace in the world. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that Mary is pointing us to. Our Lady at Fatima, and what kind of preaching, if you preach, five more days, and we are on the brink of disaster, how does the preacher who's teaching to maximize God, the initiative really is, again, belonging to God. The awakening in our hearts is to listen. What is it, I think, more than anything, than calling out to the world that God wants us to, what does he really want us to do? There's a magnificent text in when the Egyptians were about to destroy the Hebrews in the book of Exodus, and Moses was leading his people to a new life and to freedom. God wants us to listen to the voice of this great prophet, Moses. And the word that he speaks to them, I'll just read in Exodus. I'll just read the 13th verse of the 14th chapter. And this is what Moses said to the people. But Moses answered the people, "Fear not, stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. These Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again." Now here they are, the chariots and the charioteers and the Pharaoh of Egypt are coming down on them. They're this small little group that are trying to go to freedom, in a sense powerless against this huge force and army. What does Moses tell them to do? This is a powerful text in Exodus 14:14. "The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still. The call to prayer, the call to that inner quiet. Be still. God will do everything. Prayer is a response to the presence of God. Go, this is the invitation, go to the very center of your being right now. What can you and I do to bring about peace in this world? What can we do to bring nothing? Be still. God wants to do it all. Look to the Father. Look to Jesus. Look to the Holy Spirit and look to Mary. And in the deepest part of your being, you see, is contemplation made for families and married people? Yes. Not just for those in monasteries. The father and the mother that can now trust their families and go to the innermost part of your being. Martha, Martha, you are busy about many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better part, that inner awareness of total dependence on God. That's where prayer is. It came to the people in the world. I really believe that my grandfather lived this life in this world. So married people can have this. Catherine Hewitt Daugherty. Catherine Hewitt Daugherty lived, she was a married woman. She had a deep sense of prayer. Dorothy Day was a woman in this world. She had a deep sense of that. I believe her cause is now being considered for canonization. Mother Teresa was not a contemplative, but she was, in the sense that in the deepest part of her being, a marvelous missionary, the greatest missionary of the 20th century, but in the deepest part of her heart, she knew. When I used to ask her, "What can I pray for you, Mother?" she would always say, "Pray I stay out of God's way. Pray I don't interrupt what God is doing." She was always aware that God was doing it. She was silent in the deepest part of her being. Prayer. 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 And in the marvelous Saint Teresa of Lisieux, whom we celebrated this past week, she was a contemplative in her monastery. What did she do? She let God do it. She kept the deep inner silence and knowing that only God could do that. What the world needs today are those who are going to listen to Our Lady. And in these days leading up to October the 13th, today is the 8th. We have these few days. What can God do to bring about peace in this world? The peace that he can bring. Yesterday, you brought these figures, Chris, about the number of people who are dying all over the world because of the persecution of the church. Since we started today, how many people were killed because of the violence? How do we stop the violence? Prayer. To surrender to God, to turn it all over to God, to have in the Old Testament, when Moses was praying and his arms were lifted in prayer, when his arms were dropping, the enemy would take over. Our enemy in this secular world is the devil, sin, and death. We are witnesses to life and love. And the Moses' hands were kept aloft by Aaron and the priest. And as his hands were being held up, then the victory was coming. This is the image, too, for us in these days leading up to October the 13th, prayer. Listen to God. Let God speak to our hearts.
In that prayer in which we offer, it can take many forms for different people. Some people are uncomfortable with silence. So they feel that they need to dialogue. But there are others who love the silence and who don't wish to talk. And is it about how we do it as much as it is the attempt to enter into it?
Well, let me ask you a question, Chris. Mm-hmm. Is what God wants to tell me more important than when I want to tell him? You know, it's obvious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When I listen to God, you see, I have no idea what God will tell you. But I know when I am silent, what God is able to tell me. And many times I have these questions in my heart and mind. When I stand before God, there are questions. You know, God, what shall I preach today? And then he tells me what is on his mind, what he wants to have said. God, what about my children? Well, God has a love for your children. And what is he going to say about your son or your daughter? What is he going to say about your wife or your children? So there's a marvelous listening that comes, and it's so much more profound than anything I could tell him. In Psalm 139, you already know what's on my mind, but I don't know what's on your mind. And to be astonished at what God will say, because he is God. Sometimes he does many things and says many things that are so astounding and astonishing to each of us on a daily basis. And when I hear his voice, there's one of the Psalms, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That the voice of God, that's why all prayer, all spiritual writers tell us, is not initiated by me. It's initiated by God. Even what I tell God was given to me by God to tell him. So that all prayer, we tend, I think, in prayer to maximize what I want to tell. I want to tell you. Well, maybe I do love God, and maybe I do, or maybe I don't. What's such big news about that? That I want to tell God that I love him. But God is telling me all the time, just the very fact that my heart is beating, before I even open my mouth, he's saying to me, because my heart is beating, I love you. I'm giving you life. Is it you that's breathing life into me, God? Yes, it's me. Is it you that is giving me breath? Yes, it's me. So everything, even before I do anything, is given to me because God is the maker of me. God is the maker of earth. God is the maker of heaven. God is God, the source of all life.
Monsignor, I spoke with someone this weekend who seemed to have such an anxiety on their heart because when they've gone into that silence, there was such a lack of peace. They had gotten themselves so anxious.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the thing that really hit me in my heart this morning is when you said, peace, be still. They were so much fear that they couldn't trust. They're troubling trusting the church, trusting the government, trusting their spouse. It's so agonizing to watch someone go through that. That is a much bigger issue for so many right now today.
I think a bigger issue than that is to be driven by anxiety and worry and not even knowing that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Martha today. The Lord said to her, you are anxious and worried about many things. Now, take the state of her mind. I'm sure she just couldn't then sit right down immediately and choose that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mary had chosen it, and it was not going to be taken from her. But how would Martha get into that stillness? She would have to deliberately take the time. I have two priests now from New Hampshire and the Archbishop, who's here from Denver, and they've been on a silent retreat. And what I notice with all retreatants is it takes them a day or two, the first few days, for their souls. They're like the wind and the noise and the storms of the sea that they've been into, to just quiet down. Quiet and silence isn't an instantaneous thing, so that you have to choose to be. You have to choose to turn off your radio. You have to choose to turn off your internet. You have to choose to turn off your phone, and then allow yourself with the invitation. And I'm sure those who go on retreat and will take that invitation to allow yourself to be quiet, to get to the bottom of what it is that's causing my nervousness, my anxieties, my fears. Prayer is that which is allowing me and permitting me to let God take over. So many of us, if I have maximized my importance in my life so that everything depends on me and my self-reliance, what a little God I have to sustain me. You see, really and truly, God is in charge of the world. The sun didn't come up because I brought it up. And it doesn't go down because I am in charge. God is. That God, whom you love and say you love, is the one who has the power to bring the sun up in the morning. When you see the sunrise and daybreak come, who is doing that? The God whom you love and adore. What power he has for you, if you will just reflect on it and take the time in your morning prayer. Then, if you turn to him, what are the noises and the anxieties that the day brings? The encounters and the meetings that cause you so much concern and many times fear because of children, their needs, your family, your work, and to be able to quietly give them to God one by one and experience the quiet that comes into your soul when God says to you, I will take these and I will carry these for you. Let me be with you and in you and through you today to do the work that you have to do. Prayer is turning over to God the burdens. It's letting God, it's Jesus saying to us, as he said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are burdened and labor, I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your souls will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. In the morning, then we do this. At noon, in the evening, that inner silence, which we all can have, if we just take a moment and take a few minutes each day. God is always waiting for us. God is infinitely in love for his children and wants to bear our burdens. And God is the Father who's waiting right at the door of our hearts. Turn turn around and stop being so anxious about many things and look at him. He's there ready to release you from your burden. The greatest gift that God can give us today as we approach the feast of October the 13th is in the beginning, in this five-day period today, to take a resolution to pray, to take your rosary, and to allow it to give you the calm in that 20-minute prayer of the rosary, of the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, the contemplations on the joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious, the luminous mysteries. It's really a very powerful prayer, and it's the one she mainly offered to the children at Fatima.
Final thoughts today, Monsignor?
Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There is only one thing that is important. God bless.